and welcome to episode 6 of the Partnership Podcast. And it's your host, Monica Lee. Can I just say, I think we all need a moment just to breathe. Like, 2020 has been the most unpredictable year to date. And let me not even start with the uncertainty, which has had my anxiety through the roof at least 5 to 10 times a day. And then now, a whole new announcement have been made that Greater London and some parts of Essex will be going into Tier 3. With all the sudden changes, I must say, as a partnership, we have adapted very well. And everyone's been working so hard to just make sure that we all push through 2020 in the best way possible. So I'm just giving you all just a shout out, like, don't be too hard on yourself. It has really been a very, very weird and tough year for us all. But yes, let's just get back into this week's podcast. It'll be focusing on partnerships for growth and on financial services. So as a part of our plan, we will continue to create partnerships for growth, combining our unique strengths with the capabilities of others to help us grow. We will need to partner with businesses that share our ambition and respect our values. We are thinking carefully about how we select and work with new partners to grow, ensuring that new relationships are in the long-term interest of the partnership. We're already making progress in this area with the furniture rental trial we heard about in episode 2 with Fat Llama, our partnership with Deliveroo in Waitrose, and the insurance partnership we announced back in October. In this week's episode, Sean Allam, who is our Director of Services, and Ali Berryman, who is the Mission Lead for Financial Services, talk to Bethany Nichols about the work they're doing in this area and explain why financial services is a good fit for the partnership and our customers.
Hello, so my name is Bethany Nichols and I'm going to be having a chat with Sean Allam and Ali Berryman. Hiya.
Hiya.
So if you'd like to kind of talk about yourselves, introduce yourself and your roles within the business.
Sure. So Ali Berryman, as you said, so I'm the Director of Financial Services within the partnership. I guess for a bit of background, I've been here a year now. Last week was my celebratory first year, though I know in the context of the partnership, I'm still very new. But I've grown up in financial services. So prior to John Lewis, I've spent 11 years in Barclays, so really in banks through my career.
Yeah, hi, and I'm Sean Allam. I'm Director of Services. Actually, Ali just reminded me, I hit 13 years in the partnership in January, maybe unlucky for some. And like I said, I look after all the service areas in John Lewis. So financial services, all the home services we do for customers, etc.
Amazing. So this week's podcast is focusing on partnerships for growth. Element of the partnership plan. So can you tell us a little bit about what that means in relation to financial services?
Yeah, so we, through the partnership plan, we've agreed that financial services is going to be one of our major step outs in the partnership. We obviously have an existing business, and what we're trying to do is nearly quadruple the business that we want. So our ambition is big, and we're looking to partner with a number of new businesses so we can deliver products that our customers will really love.
Amazing. Did you want to add on to that, Ali?
No, I just concur with Sean's view of how we're looking to grow and the exciting journey ahead.
So this kind of leads on to my next question, which is, you know, we have some pretty big ambitions for financial services, so committing 100 million over 5 years to quadruple this business. And how will we achieve this?
Yeah, it's a great question. Sean, I'll dip it. We spent a good amount of time in the summer on the strategic review, looking at how we were going to grow financial services. And I think we were already on a path. So let me say that first. Certainly since I've joined, we've really been looking at how we grow the business. That's always been the mission. But really how we quadruple requires something a little bit different. So we've got a very clear plan that involves looking at our current product set and ensuring that they are positioned appropriately for our customers. We've got some customer research in flight right now, which we're just getting the results from, that will really help us on the role we should be playing for our customers and in the financial services market, and also which product. So that will really help us with our current products and their positioning, but also what new products should we be adding? So expanding that differentiated offering is going to be really important as a part of the strategy. There are probably three other underpinning pieces around this, which is how do we work much more closely with across the partnership? We have a brilliant customer base. I think we've got about 14 million records on the system. So we've got real opportunity to talk to the consumers and really penetrate our existing base with financial services products. And because we know a lot about them, we're in their lives, we're in their homes, you know, all the grocery side as well. We've got a lot of really great knowledge about our customers and how, therefore, we can help them in their unmet needs. We're also looking at really data and technology, how we enhance our data structure, all of the things that we need in place to make really great data-led decisions as a part of that, and also continue to build out the talent across the partnership, both in financial services and just that understanding as we grow across the board. So we're very clear about the pillars that will help drive us there and the plan along the way. Sean, do you want to add to that?
I think the only thing I would say, Ali, is we have some brilliant products in the financial services business today. The partnership card is the one that most partners probably see and understand. And we have nearly a million customers carry that in their wallet day after day or on their phone today nowadays. But actually, there are lots of our customers who don't even know we have a financial services business. So our opportunity is to build awareness, and partners can enormously help us in that, because when we ask customers, do they like the product, do they enjoy it, do they think it's good value for money, it tends to be a resounding yes. But then we ask many other customers and they don't even know it exists. So hence why we think we've got loads of opportunities.
Yeah, so I mean, kind of extending on that, you know, we've spoken a lot about how customers are what drive our business. You know, that is the most important part of our business. So developing on that, why is financial services a good fit for the partnership and our customers?
There's two, I'll say two things there. Ali might build on it. That you need a lot of trust in a financial services provider. It becomes, you know, part of the DNA of the business. You're not going to give your money or, you know, your protection of the things you love to somebody you think will let you down. You're always going to give it to a brand that you think will look after you. And when we ask customers about that, that's how they feel about the partnership. They feel that we will always be there for them. And as a consequence, there's an amazing fit for our customers to have the partnership involved in financial services. And then the second bit, and we do this a lot, of course, especially through the partnership card, they like us rewarding their loyalty. And if they would want us to do something a lot better, that would be how we reward their loyalty. I don't necessarily mean in cash, but just how we recognize them, that they shop with us in Waitrose, they shop with us in John Lewis, they have a partnership card or a home insurance product from us. They tell us that, you know, recognize me, you know, value that relationship that I have with you. So that's why we think it's a good fit, because the fundamentals of financial services are supported by the brands that we are.
Yeah, and I just build slightly on that, which is comes back a little bit to the relationship that we have with our customers across their lives. If you think about as they come into the stores and maybe they've just had a baby and so they're in nursery, or they're moving house and they're in the home space, you know, buying their food every day, we have quite a big role in our customers' lives. And financial services is really an extension of that and allows us to play another role and in a very curated way for them, helping them through those journeys as they go along.
Lovely. So this is kind of talking about actually one of the products that we've now introduced. So in October, we announced partnerships to offer customers a new home insurance product from next year. Can you tell us a little bit more about this and why or how these businesses were selected?
The first thing I'll say, and then I'm going to let Ali give you a bit of detail on it. We're massively excited about this. Today, we have a really good home insurance product, but we work, as many partners will know, with Royal Sun Alliance on that product. And we want to do something really different going forward for customers. And we started the journey on this 2 years ago through doing customer research of what customers want. And we're really excited about it because we've built it from the ground up. And so some of the partnerships we announced have helped us do that. I don't know whether you want to say more, Ali.
Yeah, I think there are two things there. We're really clear from our customers as to what their pain points are, particularly in the insurance market. You know, they don't really understand why prices increase year on year when they haven't made a claim or something hasn't happened. You know, and through the year, their circumstances may change, but it can be sometimes a bit painful or actually a cost just to update and change your home insurance product. So starting with that research has been really important to understand what are the pain points that we can help solve the customers with in that insurance home insurance space. Then when you look at the partnerships we've created in the business that we're working with, what you'll actually find in the financial services industry is this is what a lot of the fintechs are doing and actually what a lot of the banks are trying to pivot towards, which is how do I create my technology in a way that allows me to have the best of everything and in my armory? And really our partnerships that we've created for home insurance are about us being clear on the proposition, but then finding the best in class partners that are going to help us deliver on that. And that's really what we're setting up with the home insurance product.
Amazing. So kind of talking more about the business now, why do you think it's so important for us to partner with others in order to help us grow as a business?
It's a really good question, but there's two aspects to this. To keep it really simple, we're working in a market where we need others' capability. You know, we're not a bank. We don't intend being a bank. So if we want to offer some banking products, we need to work with the people that have the right systems. They have the right regulatory approval, which keeps customers safe. So the key thing is we're partnering with people who bring a different capability to the partnership. Some partners, as in those listening to this call, might wonder, so why John Lewis even involved if you need partners? They love our access to customers. Those partners love the access we give them to a customer base and the relationship we have. So hence it's a bit of a marriage, if you like. It's their capability and some of the things they've invested in with the relationship that we can build with our customers. So that's why we think we need partners to grow. And, you know, HSBC with a partnership card, which has been a partnership now for about 16 years, is a really good example of that.
Amazing. Do you have anything to add, Ali, on that?
No, I completely agree. I think it is about where we focus our energies and actually, again, coming back to what the consumers are looking for us to do in providing the right products in the marketplace for them. And so we play a really great role as a curator and understanding our customers. And to Sean's point, the win-win with those partnerships is they would really love us to help bring those customers to them and their products in that way. So that's really why it's so important that we have that win-win relationship.
if you like, Bethany, it's like the relationships we have with, you know, even like the social media companies like Instagram and Facebook. We don't want to build all the technology that those guys have, but we want to partner with them so we can, you know, like with hashtag we are partners, we can have a relationship with our customers. And that's the great thing retailers can do. We can reach a lot of customers on behalf of people who have got some other different capabilities.
Yeah, and the skills and kind of, yeah, the skill set of knowing how to use social media. And yeah, definitely. So we're kind of, you know, as a business, we're placing a lot of emphasis on financial services at a time when most of our competitors, or sorry, some of our competitors have decisively moved away from financial services. You know, why do we think it's got so much potential?
This is a really good question. And I suspect what you're referring to here is the fact that, you know, people like Sainsbury's have said that they may well exit banking. There isn't a lot of money in everyday banking for the partnership or for anybody else, Bethany. And that is the part of the market that we're seeing people move away from, which is why we're not intending to go into that part of the market in any significant way, actually. The reverse is true in a lot of other areas. There's a lot of new businesses in insurance. There's a lot of new businesses in healthcare, and sort of health insurance and helping customers manage their finances as they go through life. There's the whole buy now, pay later phenomena with Klarna. So it's just in financial services that the if you like, where the value can be gained is moving around. It's not actually that they're moving away completely from financial services. It's that they're partly moving away from it and giving themselves scope in other areas. Ali, I don't know whether you've got any other examples or of the ones I've used.
Yeah, I think the build I would probably make is there is a big difference between, and you made this point earlier, being a bank and being a player in financial services. And to your point, there are lots of new entrants in different markets in FS. And some of those opportunities, to your point, have moved around. It's a market you have to continue to watch on that front. But actually, I think what we're seeing is a little bit of some of our competitors who've really loaded themselves as a bank, which actually becomes very regulatory intensive, very tech intensive, and actually the financial side from a capital holding perspective. And these are not necessarily all known things. I mean, having grown up in FS, these are all things I'm very used to, but it's a very different structure and organization for retailers to be operating in that way. And I think what we're seeing is a little bit of a pullback from what is taking quite a lot of investment from the organization as a whole and diverting resources that I think some of our competitors would like in different spaces. So I think some of it is around the business model, and some of it, to Sean's point, is around where are the opportunities in financial services. But with the research that we've done, it's really clear the opportunities that exist in the FS market. It's about how you play to really bring the potential out to best advantage.
Yeah, so you're talking about kind of the opportunities that you see in financial services. So kind of, can you see kind of in future what you could potentially do differently, or actually any ideas for the future that you'd be able to share with us potentially?
This is where you ask us to sort of open up Pandora's box and show us all your wares. I think the things we can share, because we're obviously conscious that this podcast is listened to by lots and lots of people. We're in a lot of discussions with other financial services providers about delivering our customers some new products. We've already said that we're very interested in stepping into the savings and investment space. We've said that publicly already. We are highly likely to launch something next year, is what I should say to partners, I guess, at this stage. And we are very interested in helping our customers manage their sort of financial well-being through various life stages. So, you know, like when they first have a family, or they move into a rented home, or maybe the children that leave home or their family circumstances change. So we know these life stages are all big triggers for customers in their financial lives, and we're very interested in helping them through that, both on how they save, invest, how they manage their outgoings, how they plan for the future. So I know that last list is a bit more vague, but you know, we're definitely going to step into a number of those areas I've mentioned. So have you added anything, Ali? Is there anything that you're working on that the listeners might not know about that you want to share?
I think the research that we've got in flight will really help us with how we think about our audience and how we expand the target population. I think one of the things I'd probably call out, maybe feeling a little bit different, is that I think some of our current product set is very targeted to quite a niche population of John Lewis customers. And what the research will help us do is to really expand out the thinking to a much broader population, and how we should talk to them across all the things that Sean's just described. So I think there is definitely more to come as we think about target market and how we curate the products for them. And I think the only other piece, just building on the partners that we work with, is we've got a really good understanding now of how we would like to operate in that partnership, and how we, like the home insurance example, how we really work with partners that are best of breed, but also very, very aligned to our values, our purpose and direction of travel. So I expect to see more of that come through in the relationships that we have going forward.
Of course. I mean, it sounds really exciting. You know, obviously you can't share too much, but I think partners would agree that it does sound really exciting what you're kind of planning and what's coming up. I mean, is there any way that partners can support the work that you're doing?
There's a couple of things, I think. And then, you know, we'd love to hear partners' ideas is one of the other things, I think. And people, hopefully partners know how they could get hold of us if they've got some specific ideas after listening to this podcast. Make sure our customers know about our financial services business is probably the number one thing every partner could do. Because you come in, you know, we have partners who talk to customers about protecting their products. So that's our warranty business and our home insurance business. We have partners who may want to sell the partnership cards to customers, you know, definitely based on the fact that we reward their loyalty. They get money back for, you know, they get vouchers back for everything they spend with us, which is not insignificant if they're a loyal, regular customer. So I think if you think about it, Bethany, there are many examples where partners can help us build that awareness just so customers, if they see them pay with somebody else's credit card, you know, just ask them, did they know we have one? You know, I could keep going on this one. There's so many things. The other one I would say, and it's a little bit, it's when we launch something new and we're going to do a few things next year, become advocates where they can of that. And that we have a job to do on that, which is make sure partners can buy into those products, and they're good for partners as well, and we're very conscious of that. We very often discount our products for partners, you know, I think that's something we need to do more of in the future. So you always become an advocate, don't you, if you live and breathe it every day and you love it yourself, and we want to try and pull that off.
Yeah, I think the only other build I would have is, I think, you know, Sharon's been clear through the partnership plan and the direction for the partnership as a whole, that we start to really think of ourselves as not just a retailer, but we are a really great financial services business alongside the businesses that we have. And then when you come to work every day, you have that mindset of how, a little bit as Sean's described on the awareness, but, you know, in my role, how can I help that really come to life for the partnership going forward? Because I think it is a little bit of a change for us overall of how we really think about the business that we are. I think for financial services to really propel, you know, that change in thinking of us as an organization and being a really great player in financial services is something I'd really encourage partners to think about.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much, both of you, for doing this today. We hope you have a lovely rest of the day and a lovely weekend.
Thank you. And we should probably wish everyone a Merry Christmas at the same time.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everybody.
I hope you enjoyed that episode, and I hope it brought some clarity to understanding how the plans will materialise. But not to worry, there are more information about the work we're doing to build partnerships for growth, which is available on the Partner Internet. So make sure to come back next time to hear more about our plans for the future.